And hello, everybody. It's Clint, and welcome to Lessons I've Learned from My Narcissistic Father. Sounds like a great topic, right? So last week, what we did cover was, what is narcissism? How does that operate and work? Kind of did a general overview of all those kinds of things. I talked about my experience with my father kind of the last time I talked to him and how he fit into some of those traits, even from that last conversation. Matter of fact, that wasn't my last conversation, but the really most in-depth last conversation I had ever had with him. And I don't think I said this the last time in the podcast, but when I walked away from that lunch, I went straightway to, I saw my wife and my son, and I said to my wife immediately, my dad's a narcissist. I can't believe I didn't see that until now. My dad is narcissistic. Now, again, like I said on the podcast before, I don't know if he was really, truly narcissistic, but he definitely had some narcissistic traits. So you can go back and you can listen to that podcast. You can watch that first one on YouTube and kind of hear, what is narcissism about? What does that look like? Have I ever encountered somebody like that? If I think I'm in a relationship with a narcissist as a parent, is that really who my parent is or isn't? So again, I'm a therapist and I'm talking about these things, but I'm not your therapist. So I want to give these things as educational tools, things for you to think about. If you think you need a therapist, please go get one. If you're close here with me, you can always call me at the Serenity Center. Links are in the description of the podcast and the YouTube, and you can find me anywhere, of course. And you can call me up, or you can see my wife, or we'll help you find somebody who will be there for you if you think you need this. Because today, that's what we're going to kind of talk about in some senses, is what are the traits of narcissistic parents? And today I'm going to keep it short, I think, hopefully 15, 20 minutes. What are traits of narcissistic parents? I'm going to specifically talk about how some of these traits impacted me in my life growing up, how I thought, how I felt about myself, how I acted upon the things I thought and felt about myself. And then at the end, talk about how I overcame some of those things as I've grown up, as I've been to my own therapy and my own recovery. What have I done to better myself there? So hopefully that can be a help to you in some of those skills and tools. So that's what we're going to be talking about here today. So I'm going to talk about four traits today of narcissistic parents is what we're going to cover and go over, so you can think about them. And, you know, I'm just going to, it's easier just to kind of read them than it is to try to talk to you about them. And so I think it helps people to have some specific definitions of how things work. So while these are traits that are of narcissistic parents, they may not match your parent, or if you think you have a narcissistic parent, it may not match exactly your narcissistic parent. But we're just going to go through them one by one, spend 5 minutes or so on each one talking about them, and then skills and tools you can use to take care of yourself. So here are some of the following ones. So number one, a narcissistic parent has difficulty understanding the emotions of empathy and how to create meaningful connections. Usually as a parent who is a narcissist, what happens there is as the person that the narcissist tries to dominate you or a child or the family, what they tend to do is they have little room for anybody else's needs but their own. So this is what's hard to be empathetic, because I'm only thinking about my own needs. How is this impacting me? What am I going to feel about this? What's going to happen to me when this goes on? It makes it almost impossible for a parent of a narcissistic parent to have feelings and to meet the physical or emotional needs of your children, because you aren't really in touch with how they're feeling. Now, where I go into this for myself is, this is how I recognize my dad was probably narcissistic or had some of those traits. Because when I'm sitting there in that lunch that I told about last time, and he says to me, how can you have limits with your own parent? Like, he has no idea about what my life has been and what I went through, even though I spent probably 15 to 20 years trying to tell him that. I went to therapy sessions with him trying to tell him that. And sitting at this lunch, he still does not understand what my life was like. Matter of fact, as I tell him, hey, you weren't there for this. Hey, you made this promise, you didn't fall through. Hey, you told me you were going to do these things, you didn't fall through. Instead of being able to be empathetic and make a statement like, oh, I get it. Yeah, I probably wasn't there for that. And yeah, that probably is what that looked like. And yeah, I can get how you felt like that. I'm not even asking him to agree. I'm just asking him to say, I wonder what the world looked like through your eyes. That's really all I'm asking him to do there. And instead of doing that, what he does is give me excuses. Well, I couldn't quit refereeing because A, B, C, D. Well, I had to do this because A, B, C, D. Well, I couldn't stop that because da, 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 da. And what he was always worried about was probably money, about how he would look to other people if he did quit refereeing, that people relied on him, that needed to rely on him, that what if he told them no? Like, things were about him and how he felt about things and how he thought about things. Now, how does this impact us as kids? You know, for us as kids, what happens in this is that it impacts us by maybe we're not good enough. Hey, what's wrong with me? I feel some sense of shame and guilt because maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe if I just try harder. Maybe if I just do more. Maybe if I just fill in the blank, I'll finally get my dad to love me, to pay attention, to do something with me. So maybe if I just work a little bit harder, I'll finally get this. Hey, it also means at times that we may be that kind of kid who becomes a hard worker and tries to be the family hero and make everything right and good, and so somebody will finally notice us. We may have finally went in the opposite direction. We felt abandoned and lost, so we just gave up. We just quit. We withdrew. We isolated ourselves. What we started to believe about the world is nobody cares about us, and nobody's going to care about how I feel, and nobody's going to care about what I'm thinking, and nobody's going to be engaged and involved with me. How I feel and what I think and what I do doesn't matter. So we just kind of gave up, and we stopped taking care of ourselves. We stopped doing anything to take care of ourselves. And so we don't even know how to practice self-care now. So just to plug for a second, if that's you, hey, you can go follow my wife and I's podcast. It's called Your World Through a Different Lens. And it's one you can find on Apple Podcasts. You can find right here on Podbean. But it's Your World Through a Different Lens. And you can hear us talk about self-care. We're going through a series right now about self-care. So a lot of times when the parent that we have is unable to be empathetic, what we do is as people and as kids, we don't know how to be empathetic. It becomes about our value and worth. We don't know how to do that. Usually what I watch is we become one of two people. We may become more narcissistic ourselves because nobody's cared about us in any kind of way. So we stop being worried about what other people feel and think, and we only worry about ourselves because that's how we had to grow up. Or we become very codependent people, which is kind of where I landed. And this more codependent, if I just make people happy, if I just make people okay, hey, what's wrong with me if you're not paying attention? What's going on if you're not caring about me? Hey, if you're not recognizing how I feel, you must not love me. Like all this self-talk going round and round and round in my head. And so we'll talk at the end how I overcame some of that. So the second trait, a narcissistic parent owns the success of his or her children. So in their mind, he or she has been sacrificing everything for their child. That child is retaliating because they have to perform above expectations, that these children's achievements are then owned by the narcissist. So the narcissist may say, yeah, he's a great soccer player. I've always been athletic too. Yeah, I taught him that. Yeah, that came from me. So it's not about, hey, look how well you're performing, and hey, look what you're doing. Hey, that is awesome. You've worked so hard at that. It's, oh, look what I gave you. Look what I did for you. It's about them talking to other people about, yeah, my son, my daughter, they're this great person because of me in some way. Now, I don't know if my dad did this or not. I didn't really have a close relationship with him to know if that's something he did with other people or not. So I'm kind of iffy on this one for myself. But I've heard a lot of people talk about this one. But yeah, when they became successful at things, they got their job, they graduated school, they were good at sports, they were good at whatever, academics, they were whatever that did was going on, that yeah, their parent owned that. Yeah, that's because of me. That's because, and again, this swipes at our self-esteem. This swipes at our value and worth. We begin to feel not cared about ourselves. We begin to, maybe we give up doing what we're doing because we never get credit for that. Maybe we work twice as hard at it because I got to get more credit than what I'm getting because they're taking the credit from me. Again, it swipes at self-esteem. It makes us feel less than. It makes us feel terrible. Our emotions are manipulated because, hey, I thought I worked hard on this and I thought I was doing something that you wanted me to do and I worked hard. It can make us resentful and angry and frustrated. So you may recognize this in your parents or your parents growing up. If you're an adult now, you maybe recognize that you had great achievements and even today. as things happen, as you get, I don't know, bonuses at work, or your children begin to do better things and successful at things, or you get a promotion, or you buy a bigger house, or you do something, whatever that would be, successful, that they take ownership. Yeah, you only did that because I. Yeah, that's great because I taught you how to do that. Yeah, you did that because you got my genes in you. And there's never a point where there is some boundaries and some recognition of boundaries that we are separate people. Like, what happens here is children, even adult children of narcissists, we become the source of self-esteem for the narcissist because they have none of their own. If you remember the first time I talked about narcissists, their core self is they don't feel good about themselves in any kind of way, and have one criticism, to own one criticism, to own one negative feedback in their life would crush them completely. So they have to go elsewhere to look for their self-esteem. And sometimes they do it through this. This is one of the traits they do it through: taking ownership of your successes, taking ownership of what's going on with you. And again, what that means is you may not know who you are. You become completely codependent because I have to do this because other people are relying on me to do this. You don't know who you are. You're not your own person. You're somebody else. Hey, I have to do this because I have to make Dad happy. I have to do this because it makes him happy. And this is my source of self-esteem. So then we become adults who are doing the same thing. I've got to make my wife, my husband, my partner happy. I've got to make my kids happy. I've got to make my work happy, because if I don't, I'm not going to feel good about myself. And this becomes a source of self-esteem. And that's not a really healthy, good place to get self-esteem. Because guess what? We're going to disappoint people. We're not always going to do these things right. We're going to mess some things up. And so if we're connecting our self-esteem to our behavior and how well it is, we're going to walk away feeling shameful a lot of times in our life. And that's not a very good place to be. Don't want you to be there. So let's talk about number three. Number three, narcissistic parents must be in control no matter what. A narcissistic parent controls their children by dictating how these children should feel, should act, and decisions that should be made. This can lead, if you're an adult child, if you're an adult now and you were a child of a narcissistic parent, being unsure of what they themselves like or want out of life. These adult children, me, you, whoever's listening to this, if this is you, never learn to be autonomous and to make their own decisions. So, did my dad have this trait? Maybe. I think he did try to control a lot of things. I remember talking to him and asking questions about certain things, and he would definitely have a definite idea about how to do that and what was the right and wrong way to do that. Did I always do what he asked? No. And did I always do what he said? No. Especially when I became a teenager and a young adult in college, I was recognizing I had to make these decisions myself, and I needed to do what I needed to do for myself. But the reality is that codependent part I'm talking about came back. And that's what probably adult children of narcissists experience. That's what you lock into, is at some point, I don't know who I am, so I'm living everybody else's life. So if somebody needs me to do certain things, I'm going to do it because it's what they need me to do. Not because I like it, not because I want it, but I'm in the business I'm in because that's what my parents wanted me to do, or my narcissistic parent wanted me to do. It's not really what I like. I hate it, maybe. I started playing sports because it's what they wanted me to do, and they needed me to do that, and they wanted me to do that, and so it was the only way I knew to make sure that I wasn't going to be yelled or screamed at or made fun of. So that's what I did. And so then we become adults, again, who are doing that same thing. So whatever my partner wants and needs, I'm doing that for them. Whatever people around me need, whatever work needs, I'm doing that for them, because they have to be in control. I don't really know what I need. And if I'm actually going to say what I want or need, I'm so scared somebody's going to be disappointed or angry or frustrated with me or upset that I back off and I just do what people need me to do. And at times I've lived my life like that too, that I just did what I thought was right, what I thought I needed to do. I think, to be completely and totally open and transparent, I was married before, and I think that's what my first marriage was. It was the next best right thing to do. It's what was expected of me. It's what needed to happen. And I just said, yeah, let's do that. I was trying to make some people around me happy and okay. I fell into that relationship trying to make that person happy and okay. if I could do whatever I could do to make them happy, then I'll be all right. And I fell into that relationship and did that, and it seemed okay for a while until it wasn't. So you may find yourself in this situation as you're an adult that you don't really know who you are, and the people around you have been controlling you. Your narcissistic parents have been controlling you. So you just do whatever people need you to do, because having somebody control that lets you out of having to make decisions, and to make your own decisions feel scary and hard and difficult. You'll make somebody mad and you'll disappoint somebody. So then you're making decisions that you don't like, and you find yourself a year, 5, 10 years later going, how the hell did I get here? I don't want to be here. And some of that's because we're in this position. We're just doing what everybody else needs us to do because that's all we know how to do, because growing up, our narcissistic parent controlled everything. Hard place to be. So finally, the fourth one is that narcissistic parents emotionally blackmail their children. So sometimes a narcissistic parent can be kind, indulgent, give you everything, tell you how sweet you are, tell you how great you're behaving, all the things they want to be able to give you. However, when you become disobedient, when you don't do the right thing, when you disappoint them because it's going to look bad on them or they had an expectation, they become immediately enraged and cruel. It's kind of that classic, I love you, but go away. Hey, unless you're acting the way I want you to act, go away. So this kind of creates, again, insecurity, dependency among children of narcissists. And we become, again, adults who are growing up as insecure, codependent people. Worried, scared. What do I need to do? Hey, I'm doing all the right things I need to do. Is this going to work out? Is it going to be okay? When am I going to make the wrong step? You've heard that phrase before, walking on eggshells. This is where it comes from in a lot of ways. Is I'm walking on eggshells around you. I'm doing the right things. I'm doing all the right things, but may not be. And if I don't, then you're going to be either enraged and angry and cruel to me, or you may completely ignore me. So that's some of that emotional blackmail. It's not just angry and cruel. It also may be that they put you in red and just don't talk to you, don't interact with you, ignore you, hoping that you'll come back to them. Now, I did see this in my father. One of the biggest ways I saw this in my father was before I actually went and had some lunch with him at one point. He had written me an email about going to lunch and why was I not going to lunch and why was I avoiding him. And what he wrote in that email was, you're a therapist and you don't even know how to have relationships with people. And I think that was a blackmail thing. He wanted me to feel guilty and bad. He wanted me to feel like, oh, now I have to go to him and prove that I can have good relationships. I did respond to that email. I was assertive in that email, which I'll talk about in a little bit as far as what assertiveness is and why it's important. But that's about emotional blackmail. Hey, if you aren't acting the way I want you to act and doing the things I want you to do, I'm going to make you feel bad for it. So it's the same thing I had at lunch with him, right? So as soon as, hey, I can't believe that you're having limits with your father. Because his expectation was, you're my son, and you're supposed to be here with me, and you're supposed to give me what I need, and you owe me something because I've been your dad. And the way I felt about that was, I don't owe you anything. I can have boundaries and limits with you because of the ways that you've hurt me, all the things I said in the last podcast. And he just could not wrap his mind around that. And instead of being able to listen and, number one, be empathetic, what we just talked about here, to be able to be empathetic and talk and understand, not ask him to agree with me, be empathetic and understand. Since I didn't fulfill his expectation, he could not control me. Number three, he couldn't control it. He couldn't make it happen the way he wanted it to happen. It became a narcissistic injury. I'm telling him he's a bad, terrible person. I'm telling him he's an awful, terrible person, which I never, ever said to him. What I did say to him was the things I wanted and needed from him. If he could do those things with me, we could have a relationship. Never called him a name, never got angry at him, never yelled at him. But because number one couldn't happen, he couldn't be empathetic. Number three couldn't happen, He couldn't control me because he wanted to control everything going on. And so he couldn't understand why he couldn't control things. Number four happened, emotional blackmail. Fine, then he'll just guilt me. He'll get enraged at me. He'll get mad at me. He got mad at me at lunch. I could tell how mad he was. He was really mad. And he also sometimes just didn't talk to me, which is fine. I didn't really want to talk to him, but that's what he did. Now, at times he tried to reach out in the end. He would try to reach out and talk and do that, and I would talk to him before he passed away. But there was never any empathy or understanding about those things. Now, I skipped over number two in the story of my dad because I don't really know that he did that. Maybe he did. He really wasn't around when I was growing up. I mean, after 10, 11 years old, he wasn't around much. So I don't know how he took any successes I had. I played college football. I played football in high school and got a college scholarship. I made straight A's in high school. I had a 3.8 grade point average in college. And I'm not bragging about those things. I'm telling you that because, yeah, that was still me. Hey, if I just do the right thing, if I work hard enough, if I am doing what I need to do, hey, number one can happen. Maybe he will be empathetic. He will say, I love you. He will be proud of me. He will understand. He will see how hard I've worked. That was me still doing that. And I never got anything out of that. What I got was because he couldn't control those things. He couldn't tell me how to do things. I wouldn't go to him for advice always. I think he got mad and emotional blackmail happened at the end. Now, how to overcome some of these things? What happened? Well, in the most practical sense is I had to learn, so if I can say these things this way, I had to learn boundaries and limits. So quickly, I'll say there's boundaries and there's limits, and they're two different things. Number one, boundaries are, if I draw a circle around you and I draw a circle around me, I've talked about this a lot, so you may have heard it before, but I'll do it again anyway. Say, I draw a circle around you and me. Inside your circle is who you are, what you like, what you don't like, what you believe, what you don't believe, what you can understand, things that make you angry, things that make you happy, all the things that make you you. In my circle, same thing. Some of those things will match. Some of those things won't. That's what boundaries are. It's a recognition of we are two different people in the world who think about and look at things differently. And I think sometimes with narcissistic parents, they don't get boundaries. Like we talked about with number two trait. Hey, there's not a boundary there. You're not a different person than me. If you're doing that and you're acting successfully, it's because of me. We're the same person and I gave you that and there's no separation there. They don't recognize boundaries because they aren't empathetic. They don't understand what's going on with you and what's happening to you. You're supposed to think like they think, right? You're supposed to believe what they believe. You're supposed to hear what they hear. You're supposed to do what they do. My dad had an expectation that you're family and you're supposed to be there and be there every weekend or talk to him. And that was his expectation. And he couldn't understand. His question was, how do you have limits with your father? Because they don't understand boundaries and limits. They're using emotional blackmail because they feel bad and they're having a narcissistic injury and you're acting out or you're doing something you don't like. Now they have to be enraged and mad at you or just cut you off and not talk to you for a while and make you feel guilty about that. That's because they don't understand boundaries. They think you're the same person as they want you to be. And they need to understand boundaries, that we are separate people. For instance, I know me and my son are separate people. I love sports. I played football growing up. I love baseball. I love to watch baseball. My son doesn't care about sports. I think just recently he's gotten into watching football because all his friends at college watch football in his apartment. He's a music guy, which is great. I love it. I want to hear about it. I want to talk about it. When we go on long trips or we go camping, I love hearing him talk about music and what's going on in his life because he's not me. And I need to be empathetic and understand that he's going to see and think about the world differently than me. And if I'm going to be a father that I need to be, I need to give him space to be his own person, to make his own decisions, to support him in that. Yes, to hopefully direct him and encourage him in the right ways and give him things to think about. But his successes aren't because of me. His successes are because he's worked hard. He's picking up skills and tools and lessons and done the things he needed to do. Not because of me, but probably in spite of me, he's been able to do that. So that's boundaries. So when those boundaries are going on, if you think of two circles, right? So when I do this with kids at school, I put them in hula hoops. And when they're in a hula hoop, I say, okay, walk around the room. And everybody walks around the room, and they crash their hula hoop into each other, and they slide them over, and they do all kinds of things while they, you know, stand in the back of them, slide it over each other. So this is what we call not keeping good limits about boundaries. So if you envision this, if you go to my YouTube channel, you can see me doing this. You know, they crash them into each other. They cross them over. So what happens when we're children of narcissistic parents is we think we have to make that narcissistic parent happy. because they're enraged and upset and undoing this. We have to do what they say. We have to follow their control. We have to do what they want. We always have to be pleasing them and making them happy, because if we don't, they're going to abandon us. They're going to be mad and enraged at us. They're going to manipulate us with emotional blackmail. They're going to control us in some way. So we've got to make that happen in all the ways we can. So then what happens, we become adults who are doing that same. Oh, my wife is mad and upset. I better fix that. Oh, my children are. I better fix that. Oh, my friend at work is. I better fix that. Because if I don't, then something's wrong with me. And this is how we become, quote unquote, codependent. I'm dependent on this person with this boundary to be okay for me to be okay. And it's kind of how we grew up. I need my narcissistic parent to be okay so that I'm okay. And this is how I grew up, thinking that I had to make everybody else okay for me to be okay. So what I had to learn, this one simple tool I want to give you in this podcast, is setting limits. Hey, I had to recognize people's boundaries. Somebody can be upset and angry. Somebody can need something from me, and I can say no. I can be empathetic. Hey, I get it. You need me to come help you move. And you forgot to ask anybody, and now you're in a bind. I may say that to my best friend who asked me to move. I get it. Three steps to being assertive. A, B, C. A, you hear them. You're empathetic. You're opposite of your narcissistic parent growing up. You learn how to be empathetic. Hey, I understand you need something and you want something and you're disappointed and you're frustrated and here's what's going on. B, you tell people how you feel and think about it. Hey, but I got all these things going on this weekend. I'm taking my wife here. I'm seeing my son there. Hey, so this is what's happening for me. And then C, you make a decision about those two things. Hey, so I can't help you. Now, that's really scary for us sometimes if we're adult children of narcissistic parents, because we were never able to verbalize those things and say those things out loud. Because if we did, somebody was going to be mad at us or ignore us or wasn't going to be empathetic with us. What do you mean you're angry? How could you be angry? That's so silly. Why are you angry about that? Why are you crying about that? That's the stupidest thing in the world. Because it didn't fit for them. Because they didn't recognize boundaries and limits. Because they don't know how to be empathetic. And we become these adults who are doing this, who are crossing boundaries and limits all the time. So I want you to learn how to set limits. That's the easiest way to do that. A, B, C. 1, 2, 3. Be empathetic. Say that out loud to people. Let them know you understand what they need. Tell them what you need and what's going on with you. And then make a decision about that. Hey, I can help you. Hey, I can't help you. Hey, I can do this, but not that. This is what being assertive and setting limits is, because we didn't learn that as children of narcissistic parents. We either didn't learn how to be empathetic, so we become narcissistic kind of ourselves, or we are empathetic, matter of fact, to a fault, because we are so worried about what everybody else is thinking, because it's how we grew up. What's my narcissistic parent thinking? What they want me to do today? What are they going to manipulate me about? We've become almost over-empathetic, and we got to make sure everybody's okay. So now we become codependent. Again, I'm codependent because I'm dependent on you to be okay so that I'm okay. And we've got to get to a place in our world, in our life, where we can recognize that, hey, I can tell my best friend, hey, I get you want to move and you need some help and you forgot to tell anybody, but here's what's going on for me, so I can't help you. And let him be disappointed and still be my friend. I don't always have to fix those things. And nobody has to do it for me either. I can ask my best friend to come help me move. He can tell me no because he's got things going on, and I can be disappointed, and I still know he cares about me, and I'll go figure out another way to do that. That is really hard for us sometimes as children of narcissistic parents to learn that skill, to learn that tool. So we're going to keep talking about that. That's a theme you're going to keep hearing coming up over and over again as we go through these podcasts about setting limits and taking care of yourself and doing that, and shame and guilt. So these are just four traits of narcissistic parents. So we're going to talk about next time, how did our parents control us? Maybe outright controlling us, but sometimes maybe they controlled us in other kind of ways we didn't recognize, or they didn't even recognize. What was that about? How were they controlling us? What was going on there? How did we deal with that? So that's one of those things we're going to be talking about. And we're also going to talk about maybe at the end of next time and the time after that, how did they abuse us? Because abuse is not always physical abuse where somebody has hurt you and hit you and do that. It does include that, and it will include that. But it also can mean emotional manipulation, avoidance, withdrawing, emotional blackmail that we talked about. So we're going to take these terms and keep expanding them. So I hope you're getting something out of this. If you are, please comment. Please share it out. Please let other people you know that need to know this information to help themselves, let them know this information. And I thank you so much for being with me today and listening to this podcast. And hey, go be assertive. Learn how to do that. Step into something uncomfortable and learn that people will listen to you and that you are valuable, and what you think and what you feel and what you need can be heard and listened to and valued. Thanks so much. Talk to you next week.